Did that alarm go off a little bit earlier this morning? A few years ago, I got the opportunity to realize one of my personal dreams in life. We all dream about different things, and as a young man, I can remember a number of people from our community went to work on the Alaska pipeline. And when they would come back, I would hear some of the things that they told and the things that they saw. And I thought, boy, it would really be a neat thing if sometime in my life I got to go to Alaska. I always wanted to go and visit there. And so a few years ago, I got to realize that dream. Worked with a church in Sitka, Alaska, spoke at the community center there, and was able to stay a few extra days and camp and fish. And it was one of the neater experiences of my life. I'm always harassing Josh Norgulin to tell me about his experiences in Alaska. But my friend Don DeLucchi and I, who's a preacher in Jackson Street Congregation in Monroe, Louisiana, in fact, Sonny just got to be with him this last week. He held a singing workshop for that congregation. But we stayed in a tent in a national forest. And I could tell that the park ranger was a little bit concerned about the idea of two preachers being out there on the loose in the wild by themselves. He came by about three times every day and sat down and asked how we were doing, and he'd drink coffee with us. And he spent a considerable amount of time warning us about the grizzly bears. And he ended up, I think the second day or something, bringing us this huge canister of pepper spray. It looked like a small fire extinguisher. It was just this monstrous thing. And so I asked him if he thought this would be effective against the bear, and he said, probably not. It'll just make him mad, but it'd make you feel better to have it. So there are some things that hikers and bikers in grizzly territory can do to enhance their survival rate, like wearing little bells on their clothes to warn the bears that they're coming. Or you could hear people through the woods occasionally. If they were hiking, they would take a loud whistle and blow a whistle to alert the bears that they were coming. I guess they could set the dinner table then, I don't know. But anyway, my biggest comfort as I thought about this whole situation was that I thought I could outrun Don. And if you haven't thought about it, you don't have to be able to outrun a bear. You just have to be able to outrun your buddy. So one of the most disconcerting statements that Jesus spoke to his disciples was on the occasion of sending out the 12 that we had read just a few moments ago into the villages of Israel in Matthew chapter 10. And I would invite you, if you'd like, to turn to Matthew chapter 10. And as he sent them out, he sent them out with this observation: I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. And every time I read that statement haunts me for a number of reasons. But maybe one of them is because, as a kid, we raised sheep on the farm, on our farm, for several years. And I have seen on more than one occasion what a pack of wild dogs can do to a flock of sheep. Sheep have absolutely no defense against a wolf or a wild dog. They are totally helpless. They can't outrun them. They can't bite them. They can't fight them. They can't kick them, or if they did, it has so little power that it makes no difference whatsoever. They're totally helpless. Do you know what their only defense is? The shepherd. There is no other defense. There is absolutely nothing they can do. The setting for Jesus saying this, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves, And sending out the 12 is in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 and 36. It says, Jesus went through all the towns and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus will say, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Verse 11 of John 10. And when the wolf comes, and he will come, when the wolf comes, he doesn't run. He says, I'm not like the hired man. When the wolf comes, he runs because the sheep are not his. But I'm the good shepherd. And Jesus doesn't run when difficulty and pain and heartache come into our life. He's like David. He stood his ground. He killed the lion and the bear who were attacking his flock. And the primary objective of our life as Christians is to learn to trust our shepherd. You know, there are lots of times in my life that I don't feel like a sheep. In fact, to be real honest with you, I don't particularly like feeling like a sheep. And maybe that's part of my problem. Maybe I don't want to be a sheep. And maybe others of us don't really like that analogy. We like to think that we can take care of ourselves. And maybe it's because we don't really realize the true situation in our lives and how vicious it is in this world and how many different avenues of attack Satan has, the wolf has, to get into our life. What's it like living in a world of wolves? Well, it's scary, particularly if you're a sheep. In verses 17 and 18, he says, be on your guard, he's telling his disciples. Be on your guard against men. They will hand you over to the local councils and flog you in their synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings and witness to them and to the Gentiles. Verse 21, brother will betray brother to death. Not only is it going to be what they do to you out here in the world, it's what happens within our own families. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. You see, there's two things in this world that the world will not tolerate. Somebody whose standards are very high above them, or someone whose standards are very low. The world will persecute you. The world will punish you if you don't live by its standards. Jesus in the upper room, when he was praying, he said to the Father, I have given them, the disciples, your word, and the world has hated them, for they're not of the world any more than I'm of the world. And before he prayed, he had said to the disciples, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That's why the world hates you. You know, as I was thinking about this, what it's like to live in the world of wolves. If the world decides, or a group of people decide that they want to coexist peacefully, the best that the world can possibly ever come up with is unqualified tolerance. That's the best it can offer. I'm okay, you're okay. You don't tell me I'm wrong, I won't tell you you're wrong. You have your truth, I have my truth. That's the very best that the world can possibly come up with. Some years before most of you were born, in 1977, Billy Mason wrote a song entitled, We Just Disagree. And it expresses the world's solution. And the first verse goes this way. Been away, haven't seen you in a while. How have you been? Have you changed your style, and do you think we've grown up differently? don't seem the same. Seems you've lost your feel for me. So let's leave it alone, because we can't see eye to eye. There ain't no good guys. There ain't no bad guys. There's just you and me, and we just disagree. That's the best the world can offer. You don't bother me, I won't bother you. You don't judge me, I won't judge you. You don't tell me what's right, you don't try to persuade me, and I won't try to persuade you. But in the middle of all of this, Jesus tells his disciples in a paragraph there between verse 26 and 31, look at that paragraph. Three times he will say, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And I think, if I were one of the disciples that he's sending out, and by the way, I am. If I were one of those disciples that's being sent out, and he's telling me repeatedly, don't be afraid, I would want to say, why are you saying that? You just got through telling me that in the wolf's world, they're going to hate me and persecute me and try to kill me, and now you're telling me, don't be afraid? And I appreciate Brother Mata's comments, because they're exactly what I want the comment to be. Why should I not be afraid? Look at verse 29 through 31. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows. Here's my question for this lesson. How are we to act as we are living in a world of wolves, as sheep? Well, we go get a sword, right? You become one of them. That's the natural tendency. That's the natural reaction. Become a wolf. And so they did get a sword, didn't they? And when they used it, Jesus rebuked them and said, put your sword up. They that live by the sword will what? Die by the sword. That's not the way. That's not how you're going to be protected in this world, to become like a wolf, to get to the point that you can use a sword well. Here's how we're to live, back in Matthew chapter 10, in the same context, verse 16. Therefore, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves. Right. Now, how comforting is that? Shrewd. King James uses the word wise. And the word means to be perceptive, practically wise. Reminds me of another passage in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. It says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a lion looking for someone to devour. And so Jesus says, as you are living as a sheep in a world of wolves, keep your wits about you. I like the phrase that Paul uses when he says that we as Christians walk circumspectly. That's a King James word, but I like it. It means to walk in a circle. It's the way you walk through the graveyard at nighttime. You walk in this way, but you're constantly turning around looking. And looking and looking. He said, that's the way you're to walk in this world. Keep your wits about you. Be perceptive. This is the same word that's used of the wise man who built his house on the rock. And you know why he built his house on the rock, right? He looked at the situation. He surveyed it. He saw the dangers involved if he built it down here on the beach. People like to have beach houses. They have to carry lots of insurance, don't they? Because beach houses have a tendency to be swept away. But this man was wise. And he said, I'll build my house up here on the rock, away from this danger. And so we're to live in this world of wolves as someone who's wise. And then he said, live as someone who is innocent or harmless, the King James uses. And sometimes, in order to really understand the word, you have to take the English meaning away from it. This word literally says, the literal translation is, not mixed. Not mixed. And I'm not totally sure why he used a dove in this regard, except in thinking about it, and you think about the way a dove lives in the bird world, he's not like a hawk, he's not like a blue jay, he's not even like a mockingbird or a buzzard. All of these birds interact with other birds and sometimes ferociously, don't they? I mean, even a mockingbird. You see a mockingbird pecking a crow, don't you? Flying off pretty regularly. But you never see a dove doing that. They just do their thing, don't they? They're not really in competition. They don't. You never see a dove fighting with other birds. And so I think what he's saying is, keep yourself focused on what you're supposed to be doing. Don't get involved in everything else and all the stuff that you see around you. Here's the way you're to live as a sheep in the midst of wolves. Keep yourself focused on what I've sent you out to do. Just do your thing. Other people in the world are going to be doing this. In this world of wolves, there's going to be lots of things that are going on that are really hurtful and competitive and in competition with everyone else and everything else. But you're not of this world. I put you in this world and you're different. You just do what I tell you to do and you keep focused on what it is that you're supposed to be doing. Living to please not yourself and not others, but God. And so, as Christians, as sheep in a world of wolves, how are we to think? We're to be wise. We're to be perceptive. James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, how do you get it? Ask God. He'll give it to you. He gives liberally to all men without upbraiding. Doesn't chastise you for it. And so if you lack wisdom, pray for wisdom. Paul says, the spiritual man makes judgment about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. And then he tells you why. Because we have the mind of Christ. A Christian is more truly perceptive about things in this world than anybody else is. Really understands how things work from a much deeper perspective than anyone else can. And so that's how we're to think. How are we to act? Stay focused. Don't get involved in the agendas and manipulations of this world. Don't get sidetracked. And always, always remember that the shepherd is the one who sent you. In verse 16, I am sending you like sheep among wolves. Do you know the shepherd? Do you know that the shepherd will never send you anywhere out of his control? He will never ask you to do anything that he is not in control of. Can he handle the wolves? Can your shepherd handle the wolves? Well, watch him. Just watch him operate. Whenever he confronts the Pharisees, can he handle the wolves? Whenever he touches the man who's filled with leprosy, can he handle the wolves? When he cast out the violent demon, and they come and bow down at his feet and beg him not to send them to the pit before the time. And they beg to be allowed to go into the herd of swine. Can he handle the demons in this world? Watch him as he raises the dead. Watch him as he comforts the lonely and hurting whom society has rejected. You know, as I think back on my life, there were many times, I'm sure, that I was helpless and didn't know it. But the times that most come to my mind are, number one, I was out walking one day in the woods, and a pack of wild dogs across my path in front of me, about eight of them. And when they saw me, and I was a long ways from home and in on a trail in the woods, and when they saw me, they all stopped and turned and looked at me. And I realized if they wanted me, they can take me down. And I can't get away from them. I remember that. And the leader of the dog was a big yellow dog. And he looked at me, and he just kept staring at me, and in a minute he turned and he trotted off. I turned around and went back home. And then the other times in my life when I can remember feeling totally helpless is when I stood beside the bed of someone that I loved that was dying. Or I stood in front of a casket of someone that I loved. And it's just this overwhelming feeling from a human standpoint. I can't do anything about this. I'm totally helpless in the face of this. But you know, there are many other times when the shepherd has taken care of me when I didn't even know it. I wasn't even aware of the dangers involved. And so there's the psalm that seems to fit right in here with me. And I'd like for you to, if we can get this on the screen, I'd like for you to read this psalm with me. Psalm 23. Ready? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That does make you feel secure, doesn't it? The Lord is my shepherd. There are two ways that you can live among the wolves. You can compromise your standards by either conforming to the world or keeping quiet. You can become a wolf. Or you can learn to trust the shepherd. Living among the wolves is scary, especially when you're a sheep. Listen to the encouragement that Peter leaves with those who've been forced to leave their families and homes because of the wolves. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on Him because, literally, His care is all around you. Be self-controlled, alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered for a little while, will Himself restore you and make you strong, firm, steadfast. To Him be power forever and ever. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 through 10. This world, the world of wolves, offers no real security. And what it does offer is a lie. It can't deliver. And even if it persuades you all the way to the end of your life, when you come to the end of your life, you'll know it didn't give security. It cannot give eternal security. The only people in this whole world who have true security are those who are in God's flock, that He's caring for and He's taking care of our needs. And so this morning, if you're not a member of God's flock, you're in dangerous territory. You will be eaten. You will be devoured. Your life will be destroyed. And if by some chance. You are able to live your whole life and persuade yourself that the money that you have or that the things that you've accumulated, that those things bring you security, then one day you're going to come face to face with the reality that you're going to leave them all behind. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. Are you going to meet your shepherd? Are you going to meet a judge who's going to condemn you for wasting your life? This morning the Lord has spared your life, and He's calling you, tenderly calling you into His fold. If you're not a Christian, or if as a Christian you've wandered away, then the Lord stands as the good shepherd, inviting you to come home while we stand and sing.